Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Greetings from Miriam Alamo. Salam, salam, salam. You are listening to How Do You See It with your one and only host, Miriam Alamo. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your one stop to gain motivation, learn from stories around the world, and participate to share your perception towards your life. www.blogtalkradio.com/world perspective.
Hello and welcome, my beautiful listeners. You are listening to How Do You See It, brought to you by your one and only host, Miriam Alamo. TGIM, thank God it's Monday. Happy Monday to you all. Hope you have a beautiful weekend. What a temperature we have been having the past few days, right? Well, this is Mother Nature. It's all beautiful. Just don't forget to stay hydrated. With that being said, I've already gotten some questions about why I named today's show Onto Our Relationship. Well, my guest for today is a relationship coach, and after starting her business, she managed to make the same amount of income as when she was employed in a corporate office as a lawyer within just few months. Now, isn't that just amazing? Hence, now she is a business coach as well, and she talks about how some strategies she used for her business and dating clients are interrelated. So I thought, okay, why don't I combine those two, right? So that's how I came up with the name Onto Our Relationship. That's the name of the show for today. She's amazing. She will be sharing with us some dating and business starting tips that you don't want to miss. Let me know what you think by calling at 929-477-1328 or send in your comment to worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com, or we can chat live here and on facebook.com/worldperspectiveshow, or you can always tweet at me at @howdoyou_see_it. After a very short music break, we will be right back with my today's guest, Rita Goodrow. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss this. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today we have Rita Goodrow with us, and she's going to talk about relationship coaching, and she has her own business as well, so she's going to discuss that with us, and she's going to compare that two of the things together. She has some amazing stories, and I really want to get started with that. So, first of all, thank you so much for being here, Rita.
Oh, you're welcome. Not a problem. I'm glad to be here.
Perfect, perfect. So, you are a relationship and dating coach. So tell us how you got involved in that.
Okay. It's actually a kind of long, I won't make it too long, but a really interesting story. It's not like I woke up one day and said, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I really want to be a dating coach. Like, it didn't go like that at all. Yeah. I was an attorney, and I'm still an attorney. I just don't actively practice the law anymore. But I was working as an attorney, and I started in 2006 as a hobby, a singles group called Singles in the Suburbs, and it's located in the Washington, D.C. area, and it started as a small group, and now almost 10 years later, it has about 5,000 members in it, which is great, but I was running that group as a hobby, mm-hmm. and I met a guy in that group. So I was running the singles group, and I met a guy like the day after I started the group and started dating him, and we ran the group together. So a lot of media, a lot of magazines and the Washington Post, they would always come to me for interviews on stories about being single in the suburbs, single in the city. Anytime that they needed a quote, they would come to me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of became this expert on being single, even though I wasn't really single. I was just running this singles group. So I was doing that. And then about 5 years after I started that group, the guy I was dating, he broke up with me. And it wasn't sudden, but that night it felt very sudden, very mm-hmm. out of the blue. Yeah. And I was devastated. And I was talking to my best friend that night, or the next night. And I said, you know, I'm about to turn, at the time I was about to turn 35. And I said, I'm about to turn 35. And I realized something. I've been in 5 long-term relationships. I've had 5 real relationships, and they were all kind of long-term. Mm-hmm. And I said, and they have 2 things in common. They all ended, and me. And that was it. Like, so these guys had nothing in common except we ended and then me. And I said, so maybe I'm doing something to cause these relationships to end. It might be a crazy thought, but maybe I have something to do with it. So to figure it out, I brainstormed this idea to go on 35 dates in 35 days. So I went on 35 consecutive dates in 35 days in a row with 35 different guys, like a different date every day. And the point wasn't to find love. Like, I didn't know anything about the guys I went on a date with. I didn't know their age or their race or what they did for a living. And I had them pick the activity, because the point was to meet people I would normally not meet and do things I would normally not do. So I had to be uncomfortable and figure out how I reacted to that. When I was outside of my comfort zone, how did I react? What were the thoughts I was thinking? How was I handling things? So I could learn how I could improve. So I did that. And I blogged all about it. And through the blog, I met a lot of dating coaches who were offering to give me free coaching so that I would mention them in my blog. Mm-hmm. And I thought, great, that's a win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
So I got some coaching, and I went through this project. And at the end of it, a coach said, Rita, what are you doing? Like, you hate practicing the law. You're so, it's not your passion. You're already kind of like coaching singles through the singles group, through your blog about this project. Why don't you just become a coach? And I said, you're crazy. Like, I can't quit the law. That's just crazy. I can't do that. But eventually the universe kind of conspired to make me a coach, because it ended my contract with my law firm. And I had a choice. I could either try to find a job in the law, being kind of miserable and not excited and not happy, or I could give the coaching thing a go. So I decided to jump into dating and relationship coaching. I kind of had a good head start because I ran the singles group and they all knew me already, but I jumped right in and started dating and relationship coaching, and it mainly date coaching, and knocked it out of the park. Like, it was just great fun. And so I just kind of kept going, and now it's been a couple of years that I've been a coach. I still do dating and relationship coaching, but I'm also now a business coach, which I'll talk about a little later. But that's kind of how I got into it. So it was really because of my failed relationships and then a project that I brainstormed that introduced me to new ideas and new people that kind of ended up changing not only my love life, but my career as well.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. I really wanted you to talk about that story. It's amazing. But one thing that I want to mention here is I really appreciate you for asking yourself if there is a problem with you, not with the people that you're dating. So most people don't do that, and I like that. I really appreciate that. Asking yourself, because as you said, sometimes the problem is with us, not with the outside world, right? So
yeah, well, and here's kind of my thought about that is that a lot of people don't like to say, maybe it's me, for anything that, yeah, where they want new results, they really kind of want it to be because of something else, because people feel wrong when they think that maybe they're doing something bad, or they feel embarrassed if they say, maybe it's me. But I really find that that's very empowering, because if it's not us, if it's outside stuff that's happening and we have no control over it, then we can never change our situation. What that means is we have no, because we can't control anything but ourselves. So it's kind of like, well, if it's all this other stuff, if it's other people, if it's my environment, if it's my geography, if it's my family, if it's my upbringing, if it's my whatever that's causing all of this, then you're just never going to be able to have a better situation. And correct. To me, that's really sad. But the minute that you say, wait, I need to take personal responsibility and figure out what I'm doing to cause this. What am I ignoring? What situations am I accepting? What do I allow to keep happening? And you find whatever you can change, it becomes very empowering because then you have total control to change your situation. And so a lot of people are hesitant to take that responsibility, but the minute you do is the minute that everything can change.
Correct. Yeah, that's very powerful. Yeah, that's true. So wasn't it exhausting to go on 35 dates in a row?
Yeah, it was a little bit. By the end of it, by like the last three dates, I had come down with a cold. It wasn't so much the dates, I think, that were as exhausting as it was going on a date and then coming home and blogging about it to have it up for the next day. I think like, and working, we're at a full-time job. So that was hard. But I changed my definition of a date through this project as well. So sometimes it would be just meeting someone for a coffee. Another time it was just walking around the monuments. Another time it was dinner or concert. One guy took me to trapeze school. So some were very intense and some were just very simple and mm-hmm. weren't very long. And so it was actually kind of easy to fit it into my normal schedule and wasn't as exhausting as I thought. I really think it was just the combination of the writing and the dates kind of wore me out. And I did get a little sick at the end, but I was like, no way, I'm going on all 35 dates. I was on date like 33. And I said, I'm not stopping now.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. So let's talk about a little bit about relationship before we go to the business. How difficult is it to start dating after getting out of a long relationship? And you had those situations in your life. So how difficult is it?
So I really think that it just depends on your mindset, right? The way that I had done it before in the past was I would get out of a relationship, but I'd never evaluated or really figured out what had gone wrong in the previous relationship. What was I doing? I never really learned any lessons. I mean, I never really paid attention to the lessons that were learned and how I could use those to change my situation going forward and make some new decisions that could help me find the right person. And so because I was not doing that, I would get out of a relationship and it would be really hard to jump back into dating because I wanted the dating to bring me to the right guy. But I had no clarity on what that really meant because obviously I wasn't finding the right guy. So because I had all of these expectations attached to dating, like I wanted that date to go well. I wanted that date to be the romantic date. I wanted him to like me. I wanted him to think I was funny. I had all of these attachments to the outcome of the date. I found it very hard to jump back into the dating world because I would just constantly be reminded of the relationship I had before or be frustrated or disappointed when all of these expectations weren't met, when they didn't happen, when it wasn't a good date, when the guy didn't like me back, when he didn't think I was funny. I would just be devastated and it would just keep reminding me, oh, I'm single, I'm going to be single forever. And it kept me in this really negative state of mind. What I did differently with the 35 dates is I took away all of the attachments to an outcome. There were no outcomes. I had no expectation of anything. I just knew I was meeting a person. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, I wonder why this person crossed my path. I wonder why I'm meeting this person. And so when I would go out to meet the person, I didn't have an expectation that it would be a romantic. I didn't know anything about the people at all. So I didn't know if it was going to be romantic, if we were going to network, if we had information to tell each other, if somebody was going to treat me really badly and teach me a lesson about what I liked or didn't like or how I could enforce a boundary. Like I really had, or maybe I was going to have a friend that was right for them. I had no idea. So I had no expectations. And when I had no expectations, I could never be frustrated or disappointed. And instead of the focus being, I hope to find my partner, I hope to find romance, I hope to find the one, it was now focused on, I'm just meeting a person and I wonder why I'm meeting them. And the minute that that thought process changed, dating became fun and it was empowering and it wasn't frustrating. I mean, I was never being let down because I never had any expectation. Mm-hmm. I only could take away something. I could only get something out of the interaction. So every interaction was valuable. Every interaction brought something to the table and that made dating fun. And that mindset was the difference that allowed me then even past the 35 date project to really date, you know, in a fun, meaningful way. And I think that energy, because I was in a positive mind state, changed the people who were attracted to me. It changed everything about my dating, which led me ultimately to my husband. So I really tell people, it's going to be really hard to jump back into dating if you have all of these expectations, all of these thought processes around what the date means, why you're meeting that person, because you'll be frustrated, you'll be disappointed, and that keeps you in a negative energy. But if you can take away all of that, you'll have a really, really great time just meeting new people. And that in turn will lift you up and bring you into the positive mindset and the energy you need to ultimately meet the right person for you.
Yeah, that's powerful. Thank you for that. Yeah. So I know from people to people, it's different. Situations are different. Whenever we are in a relationship, we might face different problems. But I can assume there are common problems that we face as a woman and as a man. So what kind of problems do you most of the time see in your clients that they face when they are together?
So you mean when they're dating or when they're already in a relationship?
When they're dating. There is a difference between dating and being in a relationship? That's a good question.
Well, sure, right? Dating is just a process of getting to know someone and going kind of through, I hate to sound like boring and professional, but going through an evaluation phase where you're trying to figure out, is this person compatible with me? Do we have the same values? Do we have the same future desires? Do our personalities mix? Do we think of the same way about raising a family or about money or about all of these things? You're really evaluating to say, are we compatible? Mm-hmm. And once you kind of realize, and with my clients, I go into it in more detail. There's kind of different levels and stages of dating. But the idea is at a certain point, you're making different commitments. So usually the first commitment is saying, you know what, I don't know a lot about you to know if you're the one for me, but I like you. When I have free time, I want to see you. And when I have energy, I want to put my time and my energy into you. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to be monogamous. I'd like to be monogamous emotionally. And I'd like to maybe sometimes for people, it's to be monogamous sexually. Now, when they make that first commitment, they're not saying you're the one for me and I think I want to get engaged to you and I think I want to get married to you, because they don't know each other well enough yet, right? Yeah. So you keep dating, even once you're exclusive, to get to know each other, right? So you're in a relationship, but you're still trying to figure out, is this somebody that I could eventually end up with, right? Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, you kind of make that decision that yes, not only are we exclusive, but we now pretty much know it's an us. We want to grow together. I think we see us, you know, moving in or getting married or whatever that next step is. So there is a little bit of a difference between just casual dating, which is dating to see if you want to be exclusive with someone, and then the dating that does happen in a relationship. But either way, at either stage, the biggest mistake that people make is putting commitment before compatibility. Okay. And what I mean is they get... the best example I can give is this kind of metaphor for it. So imagine that you're shopping for a car and you walk onto a car lot and you see this really beautiful red convertible sports car, and it's a sexy car. And you walk over to this car and you're like, oh my gosh, this car is beautiful. I'm so excited by this car. It gives me goosebumps. Like, it's the most beautiful car I've ever seen. And you sit in the car and you're like, oh, this car feels so good. You smell the car. It smells great. It's got that new car smell. And you're just so excited about this car. And you're like, oh my God, this is the car. I want this car. Mm-hmm. And then the salesman comes over and he says, so would you like to hear about the car? Can I tell you about the gas mileage? And you're like, no, don't tell me that. Would you like to know how much it costs to maintain this car? No. Do you want to know what it's going to cost every time you have to repair something? No. Do you want to know how much the car costs itself, what the price is? No. Don't tell me any of that, right? Because the minute you tell me this and I find out it's too much money, or I find out that it's going to cost too much to maintain, or that it doesn't get good gas mileage, I'm going to be disappointed, because now it's not really going to be the right car. Mm-hmm. But I might already be so committed to the car that I'm going to buy the car anyway. So mm-hmm. not only will I avoid asking the questions, because I don't want to hear the bad information about the mm-hmm. car, because that will pop my bubble and I won't be excited anymore. But even once I do hear the answers to the questions, I might ignore them. And I might go ahead and buy the car, even though it's not the right car for me. And that's what I see people doing in dating. Mm-hmm. They get really attached to someone because someone's funny and makes them laugh, stuff, or someone tells them they're pretty, or they think that person is pretty or handsome, or they just have a really good time out, or they're so happy to finally be out and not be lonely at home anymore, or whatever it is. They get this excited kind of bubble of flirting. I call it like the flirting bubble. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know anything about the other person, but you get so committed to the idea of a relationship with that person that you avoid asking serious questions to find out, is that person really compatible with me? Yeah. So instead, you just kind of stay in the surface level area of dating where you're learning about each other, but not too much about each other, because you don't want to ruin the bubble, the flirting bubble, the excited bubble. You're not really hanging out with each other's friends or other people or really talking about serious things. Instead, it's just kind of the two of them in their happy bubble flirting and having a good time and enjoying some of the flirtation that's physical, enjoying the verbal banter, but not really finding out anything real. And then after a while, when they finally have to kind of start finding out this information about each other, if they realize, wait a minute, that's not really compatible with me, people ignore it. They justify it, they rationalize it, they ignore it, and they stay with someone who's not compatible with them because they already became committed mm-hmm. to being with that person. And that's where a lot of problems happen, because then 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, the more you find out you're not compatible, you're like, well, I've been with them for 6 years. I mean, for 6 months or 9 months, so I need to keep it going. I need to really work at this. And you end up staying, overstaying in a relationship with someone who's not right for you because you put commitment to a relationship before compatibility with a person. And that's the number one mistake I see people make in dating.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is a very good point. I just learned something too. I think that's a very good point. Thank you so much for that. My beautiful listeners, you are listening to How Do You See It? Today we're discussing with Rita about relationship and dating and all that. So when a woman meets a great guy, for her, she thinks he's a great guy, what determines whether he falls in love with her?
So I think that that's the wrong way to look at it. My clients all come to me going, is he going to like me? Is he going to fall in love with me? Does he think I'm funny? Does he think I'm pretty? Like, they'll come home from a date and go, gosh, I hope he liked me. I wonder if he wants to ask me out on a second date. Did he think I was fun? Did he think I was entertaining? And I tell people, stop asking yourself those questions after a date, and instead come home and ask yourself, how did I feel about myself on that date? Did I feel good about myself? Did I feel respected? Did I feel heard? Did I feel safe? Did I have fun? Did I feel good about me? Too often, especially with my female clients, they will come home and they will be so concerned about what the other person thought about them and if the other person's going to like them or fall in love with them that they don't wonder, they don't stop and evaluate, did I like this person? Did I actually feel really good about myself around this person? Do I love this person? Do I want to love this person? So I immediately say, stop worrying about whether that person is going to fall in love with you or not. And your questions after a date should be about you, how you felt about who you were, how you felt about who you were around this person, and then combine that with really being clear on what's compatible for you. And I work my clients through a very detailed process to get to the real compatibility traits. So my clients come to me with lists of what they think is compatible, but when we dig into it, we find out that the things that they were looking at to be compatible in a person weren't actually what they were looking for. It was like, they would make assumptions based on things. So if somebody liked to travel, they made an assumption that that person was adventurous. And really, they're looking for an adventurous person. But because they assume travel means adventure, they weren't asking questions to really determine, is this person adventurous with the way that I mean it? So if you get really clear on what's compatible with you, then you can be thinking, what questions do I need to ask on the next date? What things do I need to be finding out? What kinds of experiences do I need to be having with this person so I can continue to see if we're really compatible for each other? So instead of worrying about whether the person's falling for you or loves you or will fall in love with you, instead think about, what do I need in a person? What is my compatibility about? What am I looking for? What does that mean for the conversations I need to have and the things I need to do? And always be asking yourself how you feel about yourself after a date. And then you'll make the right decision for you instead of getting hung up on the, am I good enough for this other person? Which only leads you usually to the wrong person.
Wow. Yeah, nice. So a lot of breakups happen as a result of financial disagreements nowadays. How open do you think one's income and saving be in a relationship?
Yeah, it's super important, right? And that's one of those areas where people don't want to start asking these questions, because what if they find out information that isn't compatible or that shows them something that won't work for a relationship? Then that means they might have to end the relationship, or they might not be able to stay together. I mean, sometimes you might be able to work through it and sometimes you won't, but people never want to get to the stage where they have to know. They'd rather just kind of not talk about it and then find it out later, and usually later's too late, and it doesn't ever stop the relationship from ending. You might be married, and now you have to go through a divorce. So I tell people you should have these conversations pretty early on. I mean, on the first date, should you say, I need to see your bank account, and I need to see your checkbook, and I need you to tell me what your APR is on your credit cards and all? No, like, you don't want to bring that up, but there are questions to ask to start finding out about someone's financial responsibility, fiscal responsibility. And one of the reasons that a relationship fails is there are about six or seven character traits that I tell people you really need to be looking for in a person. And if one of these character traits is missing, the relationship, no matter how great it is, how compatible you are in other areas, the relationship's going to fail. And one of them is responsibility. It's maturity. It's being responsible. And being responsible means things like paying your bills on time, having enough money to feed yourself, having enough money for emergencies, spending in a thoughtful way, things like that. So you really need to start asking questions to find out about someone's responsibility and their maturity in that area. And then you need to compare it to what's compatible for you. Because I had a client who loves to travel, makes plenty of money and loves to travel. And it's their money, and they're very smart with their budget, and they have extra money for traveling, and that's what they want to do. But their partner was very frugal. And even though there was all this money and they had money to pay all their bills or anything, did not feel like spending money on travel. And that created a problem in their relationship, where they both felt like if they took a trip, the one partner was unhappy. If they didn't take a trip, the other partner was unhappy. And it caused all kinds of problems. So that's an area you really need to discuss, because it's key to raising a family. It's key to holidays and traditions and travel and all of these components of a relationship that are really important for your long-term happiness. And so you need to ask these questions sooner than later, because otherwise you will fall prey to being committed and then finding out you're not financially compatible, and you'll start ignoring that. You'll start justifying that away, making excuses for it and staying with someone, and then later on it will all fall apart in like a dramatic fashion. So those are things you have to figure out and address before you get committed to each other, so that you know that you're compatible.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.